just a heads up, we are going to be chatting about a really, really serious issue this morning. It is a bit heavy, but it is really important to talk about. There has been an increase in deaths by suicide, and it's been found to be linked with climate change, according to an international team of scientists. Using historical temperature records from the United States and Mexico, the team identified that the rates of people taking their own life increased by 0.7% in the US and 2.1% in Mexico when the average monthly temperatures rose by 1 degree Celsius. Here to chat to us a little bit more about this morning is Helen Berry. She's a professor of climate change and mental health at the University of Sydney. Helen, thanks so much for speaking to us this morning.
Thanks, Jess, and thank you very much for your interest in what you've rightly said is a very important topic.
So we've seen these statistics that have come through saying that suicide rates do spike during heat waves. How do these increasing temperatures affect our mental health?
Yeah, it's a very good question and one that actually isn't well answered. And there's some information that we're reasonably confident about. And when I say we, I mean the community of researchers, not me personally necessarily. But one thing is that when temperatures go up, some kinds of mental health related drugs are not effective. So, for example, some antipsychotic drugs. So people who rely on those drugs for their well-being lose the efficacy of those drugs. There's also an increase in violence, and including violence in the home. And there's an idea that that might also be reflected in violence to self, because there seems to be a spike in violent suicides, even more so than in non-violent types of suicide. So those are a couple of the processes. There's also there are also some ideas around what it does to our bodies and just stressing people, and people who already might be stressed, it might just push them over the edge a little bit. But the suicide is an extremely complex act to explain, and it's not fully understood yet why this happens. There's a big spike of suicides on a Monday and also on New Year's Day, so there's some interaction there with days of the week or important days of the year that provoke suicides. And it may be in our country, not so much in the US, but where we have lots of public holidays, including Christmas and New Year in the summer season, there's a particular risk of heat waves at that time for people who are vulnerable. It's a very complex area.
And of course, climate change doesn't necessarily just mean that things are going to get hotter. It changes the climate, changes the temperature in a lot of different ways. Are there any other aspects of climate change that might be leading to higher suicide rates?
Yeah, and that's a really good observation of yours. And climate change used to be called global warming until it was decided to change it to climate change in the US to make it look a bit less scary. And mostly climate change, well, is about the globe warming, but the process of the globe warming, which of course means hotter weather, also creates all sorts of other changes in our climate and our weather system. And one of the things that it does is provoke a larger number of longer and more intense weather-related disasters generally. Increasing heat is obviously related to more droughts and more bushfires, so there's a couple of really obvious examples. But it may also be related to more storms, and not necessarily to more flooding events, but to worse events when they happen. But it looks like it might even be related to more frequent flooding events as well. So there are lots of weather disasters provoked by climate change, or for which climate change is responsible for a part. And it's a difficult area of research because climates change all the time, and climates are variable, and weather's variable. And we still get, you know, hot summers and cool summers, and hot winters and cool winters, and so on, just as we always have. And but climate change is increasing significantly the proportion of the hot summers and warmer winters. There are also some issues that are a bit more distal from those immediate obvious things. And so, for example, in Australia, we have winter rainfall across what we call the wheat belt, the whole of the southwest part of the country. And climate change looks like it's doing two things. One is pushing that rainfall further south so that some of it's starting to fall over the ocean and not over the land. And the other thing is moving it from the winter, spring to the summer. So that rainfall is partly not happening now because it's falling over the water, not happening over the land, and partly falling, if you like, at the wrong time of the year. So that has some potential huge implications for crops. And that obviously has implications for food security, particularly in our region, because we provide about 60% of the wheat to our local region, much of which is in the developing world and in countries where they're very reliant on that. And that affects food security, and that affects mental health. And any damage to mental health obviously increases risks of suicide and so on. So there are some very complex pathways linking climate change to mental health.
And climate change, it's a pretty daunting thought, and it can lead to, I guess, a lot of feeling quite futile when you do think about the future for a lot of people. How do we go about, I guess, staying grounded and, you know, helping our mental health through as best we can in such a chaotic time?
Yeah, it's a really great question. And I think one of the things that we don't do enough in this country, and other countries are doing a lot better than us, particularly European countries, is getting politically involved. And that's hard for some people to do or to know how to do, but it is something we need to get better at as Australians, and using all the different media available to us nowadays to let the government know what our expectations are around climate change, that we do expect, as a community, serious action to be taken on both mitigation and adaptation. So, you know, mitigation being obviously doing things to prevent it getting even worse, such as cutting carbon emissions, of course. And adaptation is about understanding that we have a certain amount of climate change built into the climate system already, probably a couple of degrees of warming, so that if we stopped all emitting immediately today everywhere in the world, we'd still get probably a couple of degrees of warming, and that's enormously significant in terms of the change to how we live and the risks we face. So I think that's one area to start getting a bit more politically active. And the other area, and I think the two are linked, is that if I go off on a little tangent here for a moment, then if we were all to do one thing that would be hugely beneficial for our own individual mental health and for the mental health of our community more generally, it would be to get involved in our community in a social sense. So seeing more of our friends in person and extended family, as long as those family relationships are healthy, and neighbours and so on, and getting involved in local community organised activities such as exercise classes or sporting groups or book clubs and music groups, all that sort of thing, and also volunteering where that's healthy for us, and a good organisation to volunteer with. All of that stuff is the best thing that we can do for our own mental health personally and for our community, because communities that have people doing lots of those kind of things are very supportive and healthier, even for those who are not participating in communities where those kind of things are not going on much. And that's right across the spectrum of mental health, from promoting good mental health to preventing mental illness to recovering from mental illness to preventing relapse. So the whole spectrum of the cycle of mental health, if you like. So those are things that we can do generally to improve our mental health. So what I think is really important is for small groups of people and to get together, and perhaps larger groups across communities to get together and figure out some things that they can do in their own lives and their own communities that will improve action on climate change, either by reducing the risk or especially by finding good ways to adapt and help others adapt in the local community who may have difficulty adapting for one reason or another. And in doing that would help build those connections and those social connections, and what happens when we connect with others socially, as you know, I'm sure you'd know, many of your listeners would know, if, you know, we get to know each other a bit, and as we help each other and receive help from others, we get to have a sense of reciprocity. You know, I'll help you and someone else will help me when I need it, that feeling, and that that helps grow a sense of trust that you know, that we're decent people that help each other, and that develops a sense of belonging with each other and caring about each other. And that's the bit that's super good for mental health, that sense of belonging and caring. And we could use climate change-related projects of different kinds to grow that sense of caring and belonging, and that would do wonderful things for our mental health at a baseline level. It also means that we know more people around us and in our communities, whether they're communities of place, such as local neighbourhoods, or communities of identity, or workplace communities, or online communities. It doesn't really matter a whole lot, except that we do need face-to-face contact along with other kinds of good contact.
Well,
that would help us a lot.
Well, it is a really important issue. Helen, thank you so much for speaking to us this morning.
Welcome. Thank you.
That was Helen Berry. She's a professor of climate change and mental health at the University of Sydney, discussing with us this morning the link between climate change and suicide rates affecting our modern world. Of course, if this story has brought up anything for you or you do need help, Lifeline is available 24/7 on 13 11 14. They do brilliant work. Again, that number is 13 11 14. There's about 8 minutes until we hit 9 o'clock. And you know what, coming off the back of something quite heavy. It's a heavy topic, but it is a really important one. I did get a text from my dad a little bit earlier this morning that I thought I would share. He works out on ships. He works out on boats out in the ocean and quite far out sometimes, so often I don't hear from him. But he sent me a message in this morning saying that he's out there at the moment. There's about 30 whales that are just going off all around the boat. That's the most whales he's ever seen in one place. And, you know, he's talking about one surfaced twice, about 10 metres off the boat he's on. And there's, you know, two about 50 metres away, albatross everywhere. So, I don't know, that just put a real smile on my face, you know. As bad as the world may seem, you know what? The whales are having a good day, which is always always nice to think about.